and we'll see what today is going to add. Okay? So far, we've been working with two models. If today the voice gets a little better, Baruch Hashem. We're working with two models of the Petorah Shusa Rabin. One model, we intuited many, many other models, but right now we've been working with two models. One model is the classic formal Petorah, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Mispata, Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Rosh Hashanah Nizik, Ischayiv, Beir Bisteach, it's a Gzeres HaKasuf, it's a discount for Shein Varega. The other Petorah is a big Chiddush of the Rif. The Rif's Chiddush was, the Petorah is informal, the Petorah is that Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it's just natural for the animal to walk. We have seen two sugyas so far, one on Daf Chaf, one on Daf Chaf Aleph, which manipulated Rosh Hashanah Rabbim into a Chiyuv. Okay, listen to my comment, because we're going to flip that around in a moment. We looked at Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and we found scenarios where you'd be chayiv in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. On Friday, we inspected Al-Gav Chavrata and Kofetzes. Yesterday, we inspected the margins. Tzidei HaRechava, the Machlokas Rav Vishmuel. So far, all the Chidushim we've seen have been operating within those two models. So number one, according to Rashi, there's very little you can glean, certainly from Kofetzes and Mechazeres. Because according to Rashi, it's not Shein Veregel Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it's Karen and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So from Rashi, there's very little Chiddush, at least with Rav Hoshaya's Kofetzes and with Rav's Mechazeres. But assuming that they're all talking about Shein, and the simple pshat is they are talking about Shein, especially Rav and Shmuel, who are commenting on a Shein Mishnah, according to the first Gisa of Rav and Shmuel. Ilfan and Roshia were raising independent statements. Rav and Shmuel were commenting on the Mishnah. So it sounds like they're talking about Shein. So assuming we're talking about Shein, so one approach, which we saw in Rishonim, is to rezone those areas into Shein. When it came to Friday's conversation about the backs of animals and baskets and platforms or raised platforms in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, we had two different versions to rezone them into Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Either because of temporary utility, like a parking space, that even though normally we follow strict boundaries between Rosh Hashanah Yachid and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, there are these little marginal areas in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim that can be called yours for a few moments. Certainly the back of your animal as you're walking through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, your basket as you're walking through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, a platform that people put things down in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So these can be considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim for a few moments. Rosh Hashanah Yachid for a few moments. Once we call them Rosh Hashanah Yachid for a few moments, then we fall back upon our normal concept. When am I chayiv? Rosh Hashanah Yachid. One of my pater, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It's just that Hillel, the definitions of Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, are not as absolute as we think in Shabbos, or not as absolute as we think in Tumah. There could be bubbles in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim that become yours because you have utility over them for a while. So that's one way to map Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But again, you have to see it's all operating within the paradigm that the Chiyuv of Ptur is determined by Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Rosh Hashanah. We just have to rethink what's called Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim based on temporary utility. That's how the Rashba on Friday viewed Daf Chaf. Yesterday, when we got to Chaf Aleph, and also the Rush on Daf Chaf, said it has nothing to do with your right to have a temporary, personal Rosh Hashanah Yachid bubble in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Rosh Hashanah Yachid in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim for Bava Kamma is not at all defined by yours and not yours. It's defined by accessibility. Places that animals can access, that's Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Places that animals can't really access without stretching and straining, that's Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And therefore, backs of animals, says the Rosh on Daf Chaf, raised platforms, says the Rosh on Daf Chaf, or any elevated area, baskets, says the Rosh on Daf Chaf, those would be called Rosh Hashanah Yachid for Nezikin. Areas on the sidewalk, the animal can only access by stretching. Areas in the storefront, the animal can only access by stretching. We're going to deem those Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Once it's Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it'll be Shein Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it'll be Beir B'Steacher, and you'd be Chayiv. Areas the animal can freely access, then we're going to call that Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So it didn't really change much in the Rashba. We're still trying to zone what is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, what is a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. We're creating very novel, creative zoning in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, where the zoning is based on temporary utility, the zoning is based on having a ruler, how far does the animal have to access, and there's a Machlok Shin Rav and Shmuel going to tell us this, what the ruler is, how we measure. According to Rav, we measure that anywhere the animal can access only through turning around, we already call that Rosh Hashanah Yachid because the pairs are inaccessible. Whereas according to Shmuel, the rule is a little bit more mazik prejudicial, that anywhere the animal can reach only by movement, that will be Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Everything else will be Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and of course the animal and the owner of the animal will be Pater. But these are all Look at my hands so you can get a sense. These are all operating under one similar, almost identical view of Shein. Shein is chayev in Rishus HaYachid. It's patur in Rishus HaRabba. We now have to get down to details, roll up our sleeves, and say, well, even though for Shabbos and for Kinyan and for Tumah, we know what Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabba is, for Bava Kama, those boundaries are going to be a little bit different. And the consequences are going to be there are places, Natan, in Rishus HaRabim, that we can actually call Rishus HaNisik and be Mechayiv. That was the big Chiddush of Ilfa, the big Chiddush of Rav Hoshaya, the big Chiddush of Rav and Shmuel. We can find places in Rishus HaRabim that we're going to zone as Rishus HaYach. The other paradigm is the Ramban. The Ramban says, no, no, no. By creating Chiyuv Eishen in Rishus HaRabim, we're not rezoning Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid for Nizikin. It could be a classic, unfiltered, unconditional Rishus HaRabim. If the act of eating isn't hyper orche, then you'd be chayv. Because the Ptur isn't zone-based. The Ptur says the Rif is orche. Now typically, orche and non-orche falls along the lines of Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid. It's normal for an animal to walk in Rishus HaRabim. It's not normal for an animal to barge into my Rishus. But if I can find a place in Rishus HaRabim, classic Rishus HaRabim, that the animal doesn't eat in the regular fashion, I'm going to chayv the animal without rezoning. That's the Ramban's Chiddush in Ilfa. That's the Ramban's Chiddush in Rav. Ilfa's case is neck stretching, okay? Non-orche horizontally, vertically, where the animal stretches to the back of the other animal. Whereas Rav's case is non-orche horizontally, moves a little to the side. Those are classic Rishus HaRabims. Classic Rishus HaRabims, you'd still be chayev because it's not hyper-orche in the Ramban. Hyper-orche is eating while you're walking from a low area, which is where the animal keeps its head. Anytime the animal moves its head or its body, that's not eating from a low area while it's walking. I call it hyper-orche because we all thought norm orche was, you know, regular, frequent. Turns out orche, according to Ramban, is eating that's part of walking, which is very, very contoured, very limited. That's why the Ptur is very limited. Ilfa says, as long as the animal moves its head up a little bit, moves its body to the left a little bit, according to Rav, you're going to be chayev. Whereas Rav Hoshaya and Shmuel said, no, 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 no. The chiyuv is not based on orche or non-orche. The chiyuv in Ptur is based on Rishus. Wait a second, Yosef, the leaders are going to offer a second. This is an important statement. This is a statement you missed the share. It's based on Rishus, and therefore the animal has to leave Rishus HaRabim. How does it leave Rishus HaRabim? Either in Rav Hoshaya's case by jumping on the other animal, or in Shmuel's case by jumping onto the side of Sidei Rechava, which at some point becomes Rishus HaYachid Avi, even though, just wait 2 minutes, even though the Ramban doesn't really tell us what his rulers and yardsticks are to create Rishus HaYachid and Sidei Rechava, because that's not the Ramban's focus point. Ramban's focus point is the tension between Ilfa and Rav Hoshaya, between Rav and Shmuel. Then Rav doesn't care about zoning, Shmuel does. Ilfa doesn't care about zoning, Rav Hoshaya does. How do you zone what part of Rishus HaTzideh is considered Rishus HaYachid, what's not? Ramban doesn't really tell us how far in, because that's not the issue of Rav and Shmuel. At some point, Sidei Rechava be Rishus HaYachid. And as I told you, there's a famous machlokas of Elazar and the Chachamim, whether it's Rishus HaYachid or not. Maybe Ramban holds it, it's like with Elazar, that it's Rishus HaYachid. Not yet. Okay? Those are the two models we've seen so far. We're dying for the breakout. We're dying to break out and, go, because you'll miss it, but I don't want you to. We're dying for the breakout to say, is there a third model to differentiate between Rishus HaYachid's Chiyuv and Rishus HaRabim's Ptur? We haven't seen anything that forces us to say. You always have to say, what's the logic behind the pshat? It's one of the hardest things of Lamdas is, not just what the Rishonim are saying, what the Machlokas is, and we'll see that a lot today, but what's the logic behind the pshat? Which system are they operating under? Which axis are they choosing around which they are coordinating or choreographing their Chiddushim? And we'll see that a lot today. So far, we've seen two axes, A-X-I-S. One axis is Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim. Let's just rezone what is, what isn't. Another axis is Orche or not. We started yesterday to tease our minds with a third axis, that the difference between Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim is not zone where you're chayef formally, and not whether it's Orche, but the chiyuv of Rishus HaYachid is not because you happen to be in a place where you're chayef for eating the fruit. The chiyuv of Rishus HaYachid is for barging into my Rishus HaYachid. And Rishus HaRabim is no barging. It's not a formal ptur. And you did a Maisa Nezik, Noam. But if the Maisa Nezik is in Rishus HaYachid, you're chayiv. Maisa Nezik is Rishus HaRabim, you're pater. No, the Maisa Nezik is the invasion. If you invade it without eating, we can't make you pay anything. But the chiv is the invasion. That's why Rosh Hashanah is chayev. Why did we tease that? Because even in all the Rishonim who made the distinction, and mechazeres and not mechazeres, but if you actually go into the Rosh Hashanah, you eat from the inside of the store, you're chayev. What do you mean? If the Karen Zavis is not mechazeres. So there's something very heinous about actually real Rosh Hashanah, not pseudo Rosh Hashanah, like the backs of animals, or Tzidir Rechava, those are fungible. But if you go into real Rosh Hashanah, then you're chayev. So we postulated about something, but we're going to have to prove that a lot more extensively as the shiurim unfold. This is where we are right now. Everyone wake up if you're already starting to get some shluff. The next sentence is the entire shiur in terms of mapping in your coordinates. We have now seen two sugyos about chiyuvim in Rosh Hashanah. Right? I should make your eyebrows red. Chiyuv Shein and Rosh Hashanah, how does that happen? We have two strategies. Either we rezone it, or it's non-Orfei, the Ramban. What's the inverse nafka mina? Not a case of Shein that's Chayiv in Rosh Hashanah, but Pater in Rosh Hashanah. Can anyone think of a sugya where it's Rosh Hashanah and your Pater? If you got what I just said, you understand the Shia, the mapping. We're going to go into the details. But just to see the dynamic between, oh, you missed it, I don't know, you'll tell him later. Just to see the dynamic, just a minute late, see the dynamic between what we said on Friday and yesterday and what we're saying today. I'm trying to give you continuity. Not sugya by sugya, it's not so easy, but it's relatively easy to give a share on this sugya, that sugya, coming each day. Trying to help you build logical continuity. Retzef Heguni, Retzef Logi. Okay, so now we're inspecting the other side of town, the other side of the logic. Not a case of Rosh Hashanah that's chayiv, but a case of Rosh Hashanah that's pater. And we're going to raise the same issues. However, we may have a breakout moment, because the Gemara itself raises an interesting phraseology that could flip our entire view of why Rosh Hashanah is chayiv and Rosh Hashanah is pater. So today's a big day. I don't know if we'll get to it today, because it's a very hard sugya. What makes this sugya hard? So there are three things that make the sugya hard, challenging, okay? Number one, the details aren't clear. We don't really know what Mekatzim Makom is. So basically we have three sugyas. The three basic shitas in the sugya, 3, 1, 2, 3, 3, 3b. We'll skip 3b, we'll just go 1, 2, and 3. You have to set the details like, what are we talking about? What is Mekatzim Makom? It's a strange word. What does Mekatzim Makom mean? So it's not like you have the same sugya, because Rishonim are operating in totally different details, totally different parameters. Number two, Rishonim, by and large, explain the Havamina of the Gemara, not the Dichoy. The Havamina is one way, and the Gemara gives a Dichoy. Most Rishonim clock in with their ideas in the beginning. They don't tell us what the Dichoy is. So we have to know, as we always do, when the Gemara is Docha, is the Gemara being Docha on practical, technical terms, something is off technically, or the Gemara is washing away all the logic and introducing new logic. That's not clear. Problem number three is, and I should have said this is really problem number two, you have a very, very, very strange association between the parameters of Shein and where it's Chayiv and Pater, and between Bor. What in the heck is the relationship between Bor and Shein? The Gemara feels that Rav and Shmuel's machlokas about Mekatzim Makom can be streamed through some parallel machlokas of Bor. Then the Gemara rejects it. Is the rejection wiping away the entire logical foundation and choosing a whole different logic? Or is the rejection maintaining the logic but slightly adjusting it in a way that wouldn't create associations between Bor and Shein or analogies between Bor and Shein? Okay, that's important. I'll say it again, guys, because so much of a sugya is just knowing what you're wrestling with. In this sugya, we're wrestling with three issues. Number one, Mekatzim Makom. Like, what is it? What happened when the person is Mekatzim Makom? What did he do? Number two is, why does Bor affect it? Like, how does Machlokas Rav Shmuel the Mekatzim Makom, what does that have to do with Bor? Number three is, when the Gemara breaks that association and says, well, Rav can say what he says by Shein independent of what he says by Bor, and Shmuel can say what he says by Shein independent of what he says by Bor, what's the Gemara doing? Is it saying your logic is totally off, and therefore you came to an erroneous association? Or your logic is basically good, but just the association has to be recalibrated. Okay? So those Those are the two headlines for today. We're now inverting Monday's conversation and Friday's conversation. We're not looking at places in Rishus of Rabban that's chayiv. We're looking for places in Rishus Yachid that's pater, which will make whose shita very important today, Rav or Shmuel. Who will we be really focusing on today? Rav. Because Rav says you're pater, Mekatze Makom, Shmuel says you're chayiv. Depending on what Mekatze Makom is. Number two, we have to understand why would Bor be a factor. Number three, what's the conclusion? Okay? So I don't know how much we'll accomplish today, because there really are three sugyos. Okay? Problem number four is, in each Rishon statement, we're going to have to ask ourselves, what model are they operating under? Like, how could they say this, and what model are they operating under? Okay, so just to give you a roadmap. Okay, we're going to start with Rashi. We'll get to Tosfos, and then we'll get to the Ri. That's problem number five in the Sugya. There are two Tosfos in. One is a generic Tosfos. One is the Ri, and they're not saying the same thing. So don't assume that Tosfos is a little consistent. Remember, it's like saying, what did the Gush Rebbeim say over 200 years? The Gush should last 200 years. Like, I don't know. There are a lot of different Rebbeim. They said different things. Balei Tosfos operated in France 150, 200 years. They didn't write down their Chidushim. The Chidushim were written down by Talmidim. They were compiled, different fragments, different versions. So don't ever assume that any two Tosfos are consistent. These are just, you know, in process, in progress, ideas that were phrased. Here it's clear that there are two different voices. We'll call them Tosfos and the Re, but I'll show you the different Tosfos. So there's a lot happening in this little sugya. And there are not that many Rishonim that write about the whole sugya, but you'll see if we go through it methodically, we'll come to some very interesting chidushim. So let's start with Rashi, okay? The first thing we have to decide in Rashi is, what is Mekatze Makom? So what is Mekatze Makom, guys? Can anyone tell me what happened? What? Right. So his mafkir is Rishus. He left the Paris in his Rishus Yachid, and his mafkir is Rishus. So if his mafkir is Rishus, which shita should not need any explanation? Rav or Shmuel? Come on, think abstractly. Which shita should make sense intuitively? Which shita should we have to explain using our classic Prisker opening question? Which shita should make sense? Rav or Shmuel? Rav says pater, Shmuel says chayef. If you're mafgir Rishus, who should make sense? Rav. Is Rishus a Rav? He should be pater. It's Shmuel who has some explaining to do. Yet, Rashi gives a svara for Rav, based on the Bor association. Bor gives some svara to make you pater going to Rav. So off the bat, that's going to be a problem. Why does Rashi have to go on a hunting mission for pater for Rav? It's a Rishus a Ravin. If it's a Rishus a Ravin, you're pater. So evidently, we have to change something. Either Rashi is not accepting the Rishus-based Ptur. Remember, this is, Yossi, the first exposure we really have to Rashi. Because most of Rashi until now has shifted the sugi to Karen. So we really don't know what Rashi feels about the Ptur Shein and Rishus Rabbit. So this is going to be a crucial Rashi. Why does Rashi have to hunt for a Ptur for Rav? And then what does Shmuel say about that Ptur? So we have to see what Rashi says, and then go behind the scenes. Why did Rashi have to say this? And then ask what happens in the conclusion, which we don't really know. Okay, so we have a lot to do in Rashi. What's the association with Bor? Come on, guys. That just like Bor, Rav says Bor is chayev, so Shane would be pater here in this case. You'd left the Peros there, you'd be pater, because if you dug a pit, you'd be chayev. What's that association? Yes, Yishai?
Bor is a mazik that you're leaving out in the Rishus Rabu. You're responsible if something happens. If someone's damaged by it, they're not responsible. In the same way, if I leave my fruit out in a Rishus Rabim, so to speak, then when a
shore
comes, he's not
going to
be
fired. Why? Yeah. There's some X factor that we just discovered. What do we call that X factor?
The animal that's
still on the pair, so it becomes like a bore. So it's a bore, and therefore?
You're chayav for the bore, not anybody.
Right, you're chayav for the bore. So why is the animal that eats the bore / peros pater and eating the peros? Because it's a new principle that kol hakodem zacha. If someone places a boar in harm's way, and keep in mind, we'll see this in a moment, then anyone that removes the boar can, you know, do a public service in his pater. Kol hakodem zacha. And therefore, once we get to something which is a boar, however we define the boar, then it's hefker, because anyone can take it. Oh, if it's hefker, and the peros that the owner of the house left in his house that's now Rishus HaRabim is a boar, so if anyone can take the peros, then certainly my animal can eat the peros because it's hefker, and there's no payment. So Rav's Ptur When I'm mafkir my rishos and I leave my peros, is based on hefker. Let me draw it on the board so everyone can see the. Here's the rishos hayrabim. Right on Friday and on Monday we were here. Today we're moving to rishos hayachid. A person places a bar in rishos hayachid. Rab would say kol hakodem zacha. Therefore, if someone places peros in rishos hayachid, that's now become a rishos harabim because he was mafkirit. So it's regular rishos harabim. If you place your peros, this is a bor. Therefore, kol hakodem zacha. And if the animal eats it, then it's pater because the peros are hefker. So that's the association in Rav. And the good part is, it just so happens that Rav actually holds an extreme version of kol hakodem zacha. Let's read the Gemara Daf Lamed, we're not going to get to. Just to be aware of the Gemara. I quoted this earlier in the year. Okay, who remembers where we quoted this Gemara? What? No. Even though you can't be tofes a knas in Bavel, because in Bavel there's no Beis Din of Smuchin, and without a Beis Din of Smuchin you can't generate a knas, there's a special dispensation. Which type of knas can you be tofes? Who remembers? Chatzi nezek keren. According to the Beinu Tam, if you grab, remembers? Special takana? Hazara week? If you grab the animal. I can't be tofes knas, but I can grab the animal by chatzi nezek keren. One of the ways we explain Rabbeinu Tam is kol hakodem zacha. You're taking away a public menace. And kol hakodem zacha. This is the Mishnah Daf Lamed. Beware, Rashi is extending. See if you can follow the extension. Hamotzi is tavno, v'kasho, l'rishos harabim, l'zvalim. You place your straw in public thoroughfares so it should slowly decompose and become compost. And someone trips, so you're chayiv. Line number three, lamed number aleph, kol hakodem zacha. Rashbag omer, not just straw that you try to create compost from, but any public hazard. You put like a tire in Rishos HaRabim, even that, kol hakodem zacha. Now there happens to be a machlokas amarayim. Can you take the actual straw or tire? Or you can only take the profit. Basically, I can grab it, I have to pay you back the straw, but you can't make a profit. So if you just can take away the profit of the person who created public menace, it's not going to help us in the sugya, because we have to have a case we can take away the peros. You know who holds, you can not only take away the profit of the compost, but also take the actual object itself. Guess who? Rav. Look at the Gemara, Lamed Amud Beis. Amar Rav, second line, Lamed Amud Beis. Bein begufan, bein beshivcha. You could take the actual straw and also deny the person any profit, which is good for us, Avi. So Rav on Daf Lamed holds you can take the actual item. So if the peros in your newly mufgar, your newly hefker drashus, are bor, because someone could chip on the peros, then Gavriel could take the peros. If Gavriel could take the peros, then Gavi's animals can eat the peros because they're hefker. Of course, what's the chiddush? How is Rashi extending the halacha from Daf Lamed to our sugya? What makes our sugya different from Daf Lamed?
You had Rosh
right. Daf Lamed is talking about things that you throw into Rosh Hashanah. And not only that, Gavi, but things that are inherently dangerous. Zevel, Tevin, Mekalkalin. Rashi assumes that just like if I put my straw in Rosh HaSarabim, Adam can take it, because it's Hefker, according to Rav. If I put my peros in my Rishos, and then I'm Mafkir with Rishos, since it's Zabor, basically, Gavi, finish the sentence. Rashi is extending Kol HaKodem Zacha, not just to Mekalkalin, but to any, anyone finish? Any thing, which halachically is called three-letter word starts with B, ends with or? Bor. Any halachic bor. I would have thought that this special dispensation, oh, you're really heinous Rosh HaSarabim destroyer, you're putting your tevin in kash, you're putting tires in Rosh HaSarabim to try to offset the public menace, I dare can take it. Rashi's saying anything which is halachically bor, namely, Gavi, I put my fruit and then I would mafkir my rishos. Oh, now it's a bor. It's a bor. Hillel, you can take it. If Hillel can take it, then our Spivak's animal is pater. But that's how Rav makes pater. If you're chayiv in this scenario of bor, where you first put in your rishos and then you're mafkir your rishos, then by putting peres in Yerushas, and then being mafki Yerushas, that's the okimta. Talking about a case, mekatza makom, when you're mafki Yerushas. If you're mafki Yerushas, and now it's a bor, and you're chayiv according to Rav, then since you're chayiv on bor, and you're chayiv on the peres that are now a bor, then animals can take it because it's after. That's how Rashi explains Rav's Ptor. Have we learned anything new about Shein and Regel? What's the answer? Everyone. Have we learned anything new about Shein and Regel?
No.
This is what we used to call a ringer. You guys know what a ringer is? Okay. Take you back close to 50 years. It's 1976. And I go to a bungalow colony called Sunray Bungalow. Anyone here a Sunray Bungalow? I don't know if it's still there. Okay. We always lost to the nearby bungalow colony called Cutlers. It was like Sparta and Athens. We were the nice guys. We were Athens. They were Sparta. We'd show up with our chumashim and they'd show up like big muscles. And they beat us 20-5 in baseball every year. It was like a long legacy. Finally, we said, enough is enough. We got to beat Sparta. We got to beat Cutlers. So we asked Frankie, who was the son of the maintenance man, to play on our team. Problem is, Frankie wasn't Jewish. So we cut off some tzitzes and put it into his sign. And he came and played. He looked Jewish with his flaming blonde hair and his sky blue eyes. Really Jewish. And finally, we decimated Cutlers. Finally, we won because Frankie hit like 10 home runs. Okay, every time he got up, he said, no, get it again. So finally, it's called a ringer. You bring someone from the outside that doesn't fit to solve a problem. Trust me, I did it in high school a lot. It's called a ringer. Rashi brings in a ringer. There is no logic to justify this analogy between bar and chain and regal. It must be that there's a ringer. If bar is chayiv, these pairs are a bar. If the pairs are a bar, that's why you're better. Do you learn anything about chain and regal? Absolutely not. Okay, that's step one. What's step two? Can you help me with the shiur today? What's the next step in our analysis? Having explained Rav, what is Shmuel? Let's just first get the machlokas before we then think about it. Okay? So what can Shmuel hold in theory? What's the easiest way to tell you why you're chayiv on the peres?
There's no connection between
bor and shein. Okay, because why would you break the connection? After all, I'm going to say something, break it. After all, it's bor. And if it's a bor, kol hakodem zacha. And if kol hakodem zacha, it's hefker. And if it's hefker, you should be pater. How could Shmuel be machayiv in this case? The easiest way to break it is? Shmuel doesn't hold kol hakodem zacha. After all, it's only Rav. Shmuel doesn't hold kol hakodem zacha. Is that what the Gemara says? No. What does the Gemara say? Shmuel walks out at an earlier stage. He doesn't say, listen to me, Rav, it's a bor, and you're chayiv, and these peres are a bor, and you're chayiv, but just because you're chayiv, if someone slips on the peres, doesn't mean the Yisrael's animal can eat the peres. What does Shmuel say? Come on. It's not a bor. Because Shmuel argues with Rav. The only time it's a bor is if you make a bor in Rishas HaRabim, not if you make a bor in Rishas HaYachin, and then a mafka Rishas. Namely, Rav and Shmuel have a fundamental machlokus about what type of bor you're chayiv on. Rav says, this is a bor. Even though you put it into your Rishas, you are subsequently mafka Rishas, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel. Where Shmuel holds, no, Elio. This isn't a bor. If it isn't a bor, then you don't say kol. Even if I'm a kol HaKodim Zacha fan, you only apply it to bor, maximum. This isn't a bor. Rav Vishmuel, let's read the Gemara again. Chav Aleph Amud Aleph. Rav Vishmuel, Bibor Birshusak Mithliki. Rav Savar Pater. Shein is Pater, because the Peres are a bor that you're chayiv for, and therefore I apply Kol HaKodem Zacha. Again, part of the hard logic in the Sugi is just flipping the narrative. If you're Pater Bibor, you're chayiv by Shein. If you're chayiv by Shein, you're Pater Bibor. You just have to flip it. So Shmuel says, you're not chayiv and bor. You're not chayiv and bor. Peres aren't a bor. Peres aren't a bor. No one can eat it. So in theory, Shmuel can argue in Rav on two fronts. Either he says it's a bor, but I don't say kol hakodem zacha. Who cares? If someone had slipped on the peres, you'd be chayiv, Mr. Peres. But the animal ate the peres. Just because someone was slipping on the peres would make you chayiv doesn't mean that the animal can eat it. That's not what Shmuel says. Sounds like the Gemara believes that Shmuel says it's not even a bor. And therefore, you don't even start thinking about kol hakodem zacha. Again, we've solved the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. And it has absolutely nothing to do with Shein. We haven't learned anything new so far about Shein. Don't worry, we'll get to it in a moment. Okay? Who sensed some of the problems in this sugya? What are the problems that Rishonim raise, that Tosfos raises in the Sugya? Did anyone get to that level? What are the questions? Well, before we get to the question, did anyone sense what makes a ringer necessary in the Sugya? Now, this is a very, very subtle question, but why would you want to take this Sugya, Yehuda, and like turn it upside down? There's something that's upside down about this Sugya. Oh, you know why? Because now we're talking about a totally different conversation than we were before. What's upside down about this Sugya? Anyone? This is an upside down Sugya. Because yesterday, when we thought that Rav and Shmuel were talking about peripheral areas about Rishus HaRabim, Sidi Rechavim, and Chazeres, who was Machmir, who was Mekil on the Mazik? Shmuel was, and Rav was. Today, who is Machmir and who is Mekil? And Rav's Mekil. So that's like, this must be something different. And it's different because it's Bor influenced. See that? I don't know if you got that when you were learning, but like, there's a lot of subtle. How do you get to like the flip around? One reason that Shinyu Kabetz is racist. How do you get to the flip around? Okay? Now, there are three other problems, at least three other problems that people pick up with Rashi. Two are micro problems, one is a macro problem. Okay? Again, you bring a ringer in, sometimes the ringer takes over the team. It's not healthy for the team. Okay? Trust me, sometimes the ringer doesn't work. Okay? So, one problem is, wait a second. This whole halacha of kalakodim zacha, it only applies in certain cases. Is that our case? Anyone see that in Rashi? Only when you intend to be mashbiach, the teven, not if you just throw it out there, by putting peros in your rishus, did you actually intend to improve the peros? You maybe left it there. Those of you who know the Gemara Daf Lamed, all sorts of internal problems, whether we really would apply kol hakodim zacha. In our sugya, I raise one, Tosfos raises a different one. Similar problem still within problem number one is, well, if kol hakodim zacha, then how come if you eat something from Rishus HaRabim, you'd be pater kashen, but you still have a mashenenes? If you apply kol hakodim zacha, that's called an eraser. It's hefker. If it's hefker, finish the sentence, you should be pater from shein, and you should be pater from mashenenes. So that's a problem in the sugya. Number two, you're pater on the peros according to Rav because someone can slip on the peros, and since someone can slip on the peros, it's a bar. He's the slipper with his slippery foot, and therefore it's a bar. Therefore, what about the peros you put here? Or what about these peros? Because what's a person really going to slip on? The front couple peros. The back peros, you're not going to slip on. If the back pairs, you're not going to slip on, those are not a bore. If they're not a bore, you don't say kol hakodim zacha. If it's a kol hakodim zacha, do you see Tosfos? I don't know how much. Tosfos, well, someone's going to slip on the first pairs, and pairs will be thrown in the carpet, and someone else will slip on the second pairs. Those are two micro problems. The macro problem in Rashi is, wait a second. You're telling me that anything you can slip on is a bore? And even Oren in Rishus HaYachid, it's a bar if you're mafki the Rishus. And once it's a bar, listen carefully, kol hakodim zacha, and anyone who eats that peros is pater, because it's hefker. And Shmuel basically, in theory, would agree with that. It's just this isn't a bar, based on his bar conception. Anyone see the Shita Mekubetz as quoting Rabbi Yisrael? Then why am I pater if I left my peros in Rishus HaRabim? Because by leaving peros in Rishus HaRabim, what is it? And if it's a bor, it's hefker. And if it's hefker, kol hakodim zacha. Because that's a real bor, yes, even according to Shmuel. So who needs a gzeres hakasev called ubir b'steacher? What is the Torah to tell me the chain is only chayav in Rishus HaYachid, not in Rishus HaRabim? Once you bring the ringer in, he demolishes the team. You don't need a team. Just give it to the ringer. To solve your problem, Hillel, you brought a monster, and once you have a monster, nothing else is necessary because it just swallows everything up. Takes away all the oxygen in the room. Oh, really? Yosef, that's why your pater, even on this quasi-bor in Rishus HaYachid, has not become Rishus HaRabim? Because it's a bor that people can slip on and call it Kodim Zachah for slippable bors. So then fruit and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is Pater because it's a bor and a bor is. So there are ways to answer Rashi, but it's a flawed logic because it doesn't fit the system. The system doesn't sound like we're extending Kol HaKodim Zacha to anything that's a bor. It sounds like Gavi, straw, tires. Because the Torah tells me that I'm Pater and fruit and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim because whatever the answer is, but not Kol HaKodim Zacha. So this is the flaw in Rashi. Now, it's not such a big flaw because this could be the Havamir. We don't know what the Dichoy is in Rashi. Rashi doesn't explain the end of the Gemara. We'll get to that in a moment. But Rashi could say, okay, the Gemara thought that, but then, of course, rejected it and came to another conclusion. This is a very, very deep Rashi. So let's review Rashi, and then we'll start thinking about what can we glean still about Shein and Regel. Even though this isn't a real Shein and Regel, so yeah, there's some assumption here about Shein and Regel. So again, Rav says, again, according to Rashi, let's just review together, were you mafkir rishus or not mafkir rishus? You were. And therefore, it's a bar according to Rav. Since it's a bar, you're chayev on bar. The peros are a bar. If someone slips on the peros, you'd be chayev. If someone eats the peros, they're pater because the peros are now hefker because they're a bor. That's how Rav manufactured a patur in Rosh Hashanah, against all odds. He manufactured a patur because it's hefker. Shmuel rejected the whole notion, it's not a bor, and all the problems can be solved. Now, let's take a few steps back, guys. Why does Rashi need this patur? Once you're mafkir, you're Rosh Hashanah, isn't it Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? If it's Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Rav should make you pater because it's Shein Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Evidently, can anyone finish? Evidently, according to Rashi, can anyone finish? Rosh Hashanah Rabbim isn't an automatic tour. This is a big chiddush. This is the first time we've said this sentence. We've said derivatives of it. Why do we have to struggle to explain? Rashi, why does the Gemara have to struggle? Why does the Gemara have to concoct a boar-based tour for Rav? If Mekatze Makom is Mafki Rishos, it's Rishos HaRabim. If it's Rishos HaRabim, you're Pater. Rashi doesn't say this. I'm asking on Rashi. It's pretty clear that at least in the Havamin of the Gemara, Rashi believes that Rishos HaRabim isn't an automatic Ptor. Now we have to define the Ptor, according to Rashi, in a way that this would not be Pater without the Bor Ringer. Can anyone do that for me? Evidently, according to Rashi, the classic Patur Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is not based on zoning, because this has been zoned as Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It's based on something else, and therefore that wouldn't apply here without Rav's Bor concoction, contraption. What was the easiest thing to say in Rashi? The Patur Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is X. X doesn't apply here in this Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and the only reason you're Patur in this Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is because of the contraption, the mousetrap. That's the easiest thing to say, that even though this has been redefined as a formal Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, come on. My house, the Noam Goldberg estate and mansion in Chicago and in L.A. has been redefined as a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It's not enough. Because the Patur isn't Rosh Hashanah Rabbim based. It's based on?
Accessibility.
Okay, so you're saying we define Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but it's accessible. People can walk through. What is it not? Give me a word. Go further. What is it not? It's not urche. It's not a thoroughfare. People don't walk through all the time. You can walk through. It is accessible. But it's not urche for animals just to walk through as it is down Dempster Avenue or down Pico Boulevard. I don't know. But is Rashi at this point adopting a riff view? This is deep lamdas. Not just trying to understand what Rashi is saying, but what he didn't say. Why didn't he say it? Or why didn't the Gemara say it, according to Rashi's perspective? Does Orche fail in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim's, or newly formed Rosh Hashanah Rabbim's, that people don't, animals don't typically walk through? You're allowed to walk through it, but you put your parents there, but it's not a thoroughfare. And Rosh Hashanah Rabbim only potters when it's Main Street, down the thoroughfare, not newly private areas that have been defined. You can walk through some backwater mansion in New Orleans, but who is it? We're going to go there. as opposed to walking down whatever, the boulevard, main boulevard. Therefore, the Ptur is not Rishus HaRabim. It's clear in the Hava Mina. It's something else which doesn't apply to this side, Rishus HaRabim. What that is X. I'm calling that X Orche. Yes, he's calling that X Orche. Be something else, but it has to be something else. That's a Bechidish in Rashi. So even though we don't really know much about Shein V'Regel from what Rashi says, we may be able to deduce something about Shein and Regel from what he doesn't say, what the Gemara doesn't say. Why does the Gemara have to draft some ringer to explain the Ptur of Rav if this has been redefined as a Shus HaRabim? That's the question. That's the meta question in the Sugya. Everything else is the details. The meta question in the Sugya is who needs this? Who needs Bor? Just call it Rishus HaRabim. That's the real question in the Sugya, according to Rashi. After I answer your question, the next step is what happens in the Paskana? We don't know. Rashi doesn't do much explaining. We'll take two different models. Okay? Yes. Ari.
Can you say that just Rashi does say that the Torah is Rabbi's absolute, and you just need to say all the Sfarak to explain how Shmuel Kabaska is sanctified in that case?
It is absolute. No, because Shmuel is a negative. He doesn't say anything. He just rejects Rav.
But Shmuel says Chayav. Only he couldn't say Chayav if it was Torah, which is Rav. The only way he could say Chayav is if we make this other...
I'm not sure how I want to argue with you, but the easiest argument is yes, but you're agreeing. You're just arguing about the why, not the what. In the end, it's not a Ptur Shus HaRabim. The question is, what force Rashi to say it? But and you agree with me, it can't be a Ptur Shus HaRabim. Right? You're saying what forced Rashi into it is the pressure from Shmuel, not the pressure from Rav. Okay, that we can argue about, but it's still the same conclusion. Because there's consistency between Rav and Shmuel. There's no Ptur Shus HaRabim. According to Shmuel, therefore you're Chayev. Rav, you're Potter because it's a Marina. But either way, there is no formal Ptur Shus HaRabim here. That's how Shmuel can get away with saying Chayev, that's why Rav needs a ringer. So I looked at it from Rav's standpoint, why do you need a ringer? You looked at it from Shmuel's standpoint, how could you be Chayev? But either way, we're agreeing that there's no Ptur Shus HaRabim. Right? We're saying the same thing, we're just getting it from the different angles. Okay? Now the question is, what happens in the Maskana with Rashi? Did the Gemara, when it broke Rav away from Bor, maintain the original ringer concept and says as follows? Even if Rav would say that a boar is not called a kodem zacha, peros is more of a boar, it's easier to slip on, you don't notice them so easily, there, Adam, you would say kol a kodem zacha. So even if Rav would say that building a bar, you thought, I'll tell you the Havamina hell or another Maskana. Havamina is that Rav, by Peros, has to hold that you be chayiv in a comparable case of bar. Just like by putting your Peros in your Makatsa Makom, you'd be chayiv on the Peros as bar, and therefore eaters of the Peros would be Pater. Similarly, if you dug a bar on Daf Memtes in your Rishus, you'd be chayiv on the bar. The answer is no. You could be Pater or digging a bar in your Rishus, but by putting Peros in Rishus, it's harder to see. It's simple, innocent peros, you slip, you sit next to the peros, that is a bar, you're chayv on the bar, and therefore kol hakodem zacha. And the reverse with Shmuel. Even if Shmuel held that by a bar, you're chayv in your rishos that you then mafkir, and you say kol hakodem zacha, by the peros to be pater, because peros are easier to see, they're more visual. But essentially, the Gemara and the Maskana is not changing the logic. The logic is still true. We just thought that what you'd say by Paris, you'd say by Bor. What you'd say by a pit, you'd say by Paris. What you say by a Paris, you'd say by a pit. The Gemara breaks it away and says that a pit is different from Paris either way. Rav could potter you in a Bor in your Rishos, but mechayev you in Paris, because it's easier to slip on Paris. Shmuel could be mechayev you in a Bor and potter you in Paris. But the Chiv and the Ptur, in this case of Makatsa Makom, is still solely a product of Kol HaKodem Zacha. Ari, it's not Rishus HaRabim. And the only way to get the Ptur, or the way to reject the Ptur, is whether you apply Chiyuv Bor / Kol HaKodem Zacha. Which would mean that in the conclusion of our Sugya, we still don't really have new Chidushim about Shein V'Regel. The only thing we have is the assumption that Rishus HaRabim isn't enough. Is that the Maskana? Or when the Gemara says, everyone, let's read the Gemara together, that Rav's Tor, Chafalaf Amid Beis, Shani Hacha, Damo Lavko Kaminach Dimekarvase Leperesach Leshesarabim, you know why you're putter here? Not because of Kol HaKodim Zacha like we thought in the Havamina. The Tor for Rav by Peros in Mekatsa Makom is based on something, Ari, not Rishesarabim, because we know that's not enough to make you putter, but something else called the Nizik. The Mazik telling the Nizik, it's not fair for you to put your parents so close. Love called Kamina. It's not fair for you to put your parents that close. I don't know. Rashi's very silent on Daf Chafal from the base. Is there some new logic to explain, Rav, why you're Pater? Are we assuming Rosh Hashanah isn't enough? Because this is a quiet Rosh Hashanah that isn't, like yes, he said, Orche, we have to fetch some new Svara to make you Pater according to Rav. We thought Yishai the Svara was Bor, Kolakodim, Zacha. The Gemara's Dechi is, no, it has nothing to do with Bor. It has to do with the Mazik telling the Nizik, you put your parents too close. I'm not going to explain it yet. We'll get to it later. But you know where I'm heading. Where am I heading? What do we call this Ptor? We'll talk about it later. Pshez and Nizik. But the Nizik is more Pshez than the Mazik. It's your fault for putting the parents too close. When Rav said, when the Gemara said, Rav's Ptor is based on the Mazik telling the Nizik, it's you put your parents too close, is that the Gemara is still maintaining the original logic that the only reason you're pater on peros is kalakadim zacha? But peros are worse than bor. Bor, you could, Rav can hold pater, but peros is a super bor because it's not, you don't see it coming. And therefore, peros is a super bor, even if a pit is not a bor, peros is a super bor. If peros is a super bor, kalakadim zacha. And that's why you're pater. Or, okay, just to wake everyone up, the Gemara rips up the kalakadim zacha business. And now we're in a totally new world of logic where Rav's Ptur has nothing to do with Kol HaKodim Zacha and has everything to do with the Mazik telling the Nizik, it's your fault putting the parents too close. And therefore I'm Pata by Shein, and therefore that's not an excuse by Bor. I don't know. Rashi didn't say anything. Let's move to Tosfos. He thought Rashi was abstract. Let's get to Tosfos. Okay? When I say Tosfos, I mean Tosfos, Chaf Aleph and Aleph. What's the first question? What is Mekatze Makom according to Tosfos? Answer? What is it? Tosfos key? Unlike Rashi, you're not Mafki Rishus. So first of all, it's just a different Metzias. And if you're not Mafki Rishus, who's got explaining to do? Rav. Tzishas Yachid. Okay, it makes sense. Why Rav had to come up with something. In Rashi Hillel, we have to spin our wheels. Why do Rav have to come up with something if it's a Shas Rabbim? By implication, Ari, Shas Rabbim isn't enough. In Tosfos, you weren't Mafki or Shas. It's a regular Shas Yachid. It's a regular Shas Yachid. It's Rav who has to explain why you put that. It makes sense that Rav has to come up with something. Let's read Tosfos carefully. Tosfos, Dibur Maskil Ki, line number 3, Velo Shehifka Rishuso, Dim Kain, have Shas Rabbim Gamor, never want to say Pater. So it sounds like Ari Tosfos is walking down the zoning. Sounds like he's walking down the zoning path, which would then make him consistent with the Tosfos we saw yesterday. Then Rav and Shmuel use him a chazaras or shafkas as a ruler to determine where the zones lie of Tzidur Rechava. Okay, so we're talking about a place that's still formally Rishus Hayachid, because if it would be Rishus HaRabim, end of conversation, that'd be Pater. Tosfos. El he niach lishtoach sham perosav. You allow people to put their peros there. Avol kol zman chein peros sham yesh lishus b'nei rishus rabim halach sham. It's yours, but you've given people the right to pass through. Okay? How many people in your communities, okay, not in Riverdale, I guess, maybe in the five towns, definitely not in Brooklyn, definitely not in Queens, just looking around, definitely not in L.A., but in more rustic areas. How many of you have homes that people let you pass through on the way to shul? I was just in New Rochelle 2 weeks ago, right? Then I feel like, oh, I was in, right? People like to pass through, right? Because, well, your house, right? In fact, the place I was in New Rochelle, maybe he'll listen to this year, my host told me, as I couldn't talk, so I was doing a lot of listening, that the person, who is a Sephardi, didn't only like, when he realized that people were taking 20 minutes to walk around the shul, didn't like get angry and say, of course, like walk through my house, but actually built a path and paved it and put rocks there. And that's staka. That's Rosh Gadol, as we say. So you didn't mafki your shul, you just let people walk through to get the shul. not going to happen in Riverdale because everything's built up, right? Pass through the shul. It has to be places, you know, big estates, big areas, you walk around. So a pass-through area. The people allow you to walk through their homes. You allow the people to walk through. So first of all, we just have to say, what is Mikasa? Like I said, the first hurdle of the sugya is, what are the parameters? According to Rashi, you're mafkir. According to Tosfos, you weren't mafkir. And of course, bar is going to be a non-factor. That may be one of our problems here in the sugya. Okay, so why are you pater according to Rav? Plukta maskinan, we'll get back to that word. Umaskinan, plukta de Rav, de Amar, de Choshiv, Shein, Rishu Sarabin. It's still considered Shein in Rishu Sarabin. Afilu, Einichol Machzor. Even if the perils are perched in a space that the animal has to turn to get to. Rav says that if the animal has to turn to get the peros in Sidei Rechava, you'd be chayav. If the animal has to turn to get peros in my rishus, you're pater. Listen to the irony. If peros are in Sidei Rechava, which is an adjunct to rishus arabim, but they're inaccessible only through mechazeres, you're chayav. If the peros are in my rishus, which is still rishus ayachid with rights of passing through, if the animal can only get through to Mechazeres, it's pater. What's the difference in Tosfos? He answers the question. How do you solve this riddle? This is the ultimate riddle in Bava Kama. Fruits in Sidei Rechava that are only accessible at a distance of Mechazeres, you're chayef. Fruits in Myrishus that are only accessible to Mechazeres, you're pater, according to Rav. It's ridiculous. What's the answer? Look at Tosfos. Read it carefully. What makes Sidei Rechava, which is formerly Rishus Arabim, more chayev? And my house, which is formerly Rishus Ayachid, more pater? Adam? Raised. Different pitch. Sidei Rechava is a sidewalk. And it's a different level. My Rishus is on an even plane with Rishus Arabim. That's the akin to this. It's not raised platform. So this is our challenge, guys. Tell me if you can help me. You're chayev on two conditions. Adam, can you abstract it for me? The two conditions necessary to make you chayev for Shein in these quasi-areas are? Make you chayev. Different level. And? Inaccessibility as measured by Mechazeres, using the Mechazeres rule. You need those two factors to make you chayev. Inaccessibility and slight level change. In Sidei Rechava, you have both, you're chayev. In my Rishus, you have one, Mechazeres, it's a little recessed, but it's not raised. How is Tosfos operating? What's the axis of Shein V'Regel and what's the application? This is really abstract, so I'll have to tell you. Tosfos is consistent with the Tosfos we saw yesterday. That Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid for Nezikin is not zoned formally. It's zoned based on accessibility. But in order to create a Rishus HaYachid in the pseudo area, we'll talk about the pseudo area in a moment because there's one change in Tosos. In order to rezone an area as Rishus HaYachid, it has to be, give me a good word.
Physical separation.
Right, good. A little more abstract. Autonomous. It has to be independent. It can't just be part of. It has to have some autonomous identity. And the autonomous identity that you and I are going to call Rishus HaYachid is accomplished by having a different grade, different plane. A sidewalk, it's, oh, it's not Rishus HaRabim. That's Rishus HaYachid because we use the accessibility ruler. A place that's on an even plane with Rishus HaRabim, you can't call that separate because the plane is the same. So even if you apply the accessibility yardstick to determine what's a Rishus HaYachid, oh, we'll call this a separate zone. It can't be a separate zone unless it's a separate plane. So the irony is that Sidei Rechava can be called a Rishus HaYachid yesterday and today, because Rav's aware of him, right? Mechazeres is chayef in this version. It's only Mekatzah Makom is pater. So Mechazeres and Sidei Rechava is chayef. But Mechazeres in your house, where you pater, because it's on an even plane. Let's see Tosfos. Plukta de Rav, Diamar de Chashiv Shein Bershus Arabim, Afilu Ein Yecholim Lacho Belo Chizor, even if it's only accessible by Chizor. De Lo Dami Limachazeres Vitzidir Rechava. Rashi Gavi didn't have this problem because the Ptur here was a boar ringer. Of course, Mechazeres is Chayiv, this is better because of Kalakodim Zacha. But Telsus is not bringing in a ringer. So Telsus has to make a subtle difference between Mechazeres and Tzidir Rechava and Mechatze Makum. So he says that Tzidir Rechava him givohim virachavim umuvdalim imenu vechashuvim chatzir anizik. Listen to the language. We're zoning now. We're not orcheizing. We're zoning what's chatzir anizik based on accessibility and level. Ava mechatze makom shavahu lishus harav. So I'm going to say a statement now. You pick out the one issue that Tosos implies. In order to turn pseudo areas into Rishus HaYachids and separate them from Rishus HaRabim, not only does it have to be less accessible, Mechazeres ruler, but it has to be a different grade, different plane. What's the problem here? Argue with Tosos. Let's say you don't like Tosos. Let's say you're Rashi. Why don't you like Tosos? What's wrong here? In order to grade this area, okay, let me draw the area on the board for you. I'm going to wipe away all this boar issue. This is my Rishus HaYachid. I put my peiros here. It's on an even keel. That's an even plane. I can't really draw 3D. But an even plane with Rishus HaRabim. Unlike yesterday's Tzidei Rechava. I remember the Tzidei Rechava. This is Rishus HaRabim. This is Rishus HaNizik. Tzidei Rechava b'mechazeres, 3 feet in. I can call that a Rishus HaYachid because it's inaccessible and a higher grade, higher plane. Here, I can't call this 3 feet in. I can't call this Rishus HaNizik because it's on an even plane. In order to make peripheral areas Rishus HaYachid, it has to be recessed 3 inches, 3 feet, and it has to be a higher plane. What's the problem, Yassi?
It's
a good question, but say it's stronger. It's stronger. I can't rezone this pseudo area as Rishus HaYachid because even though it's recessed, it's on the same plane. Wait a second. What's the question? This is Rishus HaYachid. Who needs to reset? I'm not trying to create an autonomous area. This is my house, which I was not. What are you talking about here? You want to distinguish between raised sidewalks of Rishus HaRabim and non-raised? Go ahead. You want to give me your bubba mices about trying to zone pseudo areas needing recessed and higher planes? Go ahead. This is Rishus HaYachid. It's called Rishus HaYachid. After all, that's what Shmuel says. What does Shmuel say? Shmuel Amar Chayeves Mishum Shaperos Munachim Birshuzo Havi Chatzir HaNizik. So something's got to change. Can you pick it out and tell us? Even though I still have legal ownership, something is there that makes this Rishus HaRabim. That's important for Shane. And this is going to be our meta question. What's the X factor that I haven't mentioned yet? Not the recessed Mechazeres, let me just say the question. And not just the higher plane. There's a third X factor that even though it looks to you and me like Rishus HaYachid, there's a Rishus HaRabim feature to this. What is it? Well, that's the abstraction. But what's happening here in terms of the details? Rishus Lahalach. There's a trespass area. Foot traffic. And foot traffic that I've validated, that I've legitimated, the foot traffic that I've invited, according to Rav, makes this in the absence of anything else and makes it into a Rishus HaRabim. Similar to a Tzidei Rechava. And now we start talking whether we can rezone it back to Rishus HaYachid based on recess difference or elevation. And Shmuel says, you know, don't give me any of this. It's Rishus HaYachid. That Tosus says that. Look at Shmuel in the end of Tosus. This is the meta assumption of Tosus. That Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim, the starting point for Shane Durego, before you start talking about rezoning it because it's recessed and because it's a higher plane, The definition is walk by, according to Rav. Places you can walk in, you have the right to walk in, or Shisa Rav. Places you don't have the right to walk in, you don't, we'll get to it later, or Shisa Yachid. Why would walk in make a difference for Shane and Regal? Yehuda, evidently, what really is at the heart of Shane and Regal? What difference does it make if people can walk in? It's not a thoroughfare. Yes, you're not going to say Orche. I mean, people have the right to walk in there, but it's not like it's a thoroughfare for Orche. Maybe you want to say Orche? Maybe. I can't disprove it. But Yehuda was working on something else. Now, since it's a place that people can walk through, what's missing? There's no invasion. And since there's no invasion, you start by being a Rishus HaRabim. Unless you can rezone the area as a Rishus HaYachid. This is not Tocha Chanos. This is not a bias. Remember we said yesterday, we have to keep going back to this. There are two scenarios of Shane. There's the invasion of a private home, in which we stop the conversation in Yerchayev. And then there are the pseudo-areas. And then Nath Kamina Hillel, at least for the Ramban yesterday, is with pseudo-areas, the animal has to leave the area. Shmuel has to jump. But if the animal sticks its neck into Rishus HaYachid Mamish, Petoch HaChanos, it can still be in Rishus HaRabin. So when it comes to real Rishus HaYachid's invasion, stop the conversation. Don't ask any questions. Listen to my next time before you ask the questions. But when it comes to pseudo areas, which invasion doesn't exist, then we have to start factoring, can we build Rosh HaSayachid here, the recess, the plane, do we still see the Rosh HaSayachid? Because the chiyuv of invasion is not going to exist. The only chiyuv would be Hezek and Rosh HaSayachid. And Tosa says, when it comes to that track, then we have to see, can we call this an autonomous Rosh HaSayachid when we don't have the real chiyuv of Rosh HaSayachid invasion taking place? And the irony is, in that track, that Tzidei Rechava can be Rosh HaSayachid because it's on a different plane. And my house can't be. It's my house? Yeah, but you let people walk through. Once you let people walk through, you disable the primary chiyuv. Now there's a second. There are two machayvim. We're starting to build a model of two machayvim. Torah has two machayvim. We'll have to see this in the pasuk. How do you get it from the pasuk? One machayv is, Adam, you invaded my space. That's only if you invaded my real space, not the Tzidei Rechava. And you invaded, rather than being invited. Once you're invited, that chiyuv falls apart. Or in Tzidei Rechava, that chiyuv falls apart. Or back of my animal, because that's not invasion. Now, in the absence of invasion, we have to start saying, okay, can we have another chiyuv of Shein? Can we call this a partial Rishus HaYachid in which the Hezek took place? Okay, so Tosa says, we're going to measure it. Is it recessed? Is it higher? Tzidei Rechava, we'll call that a quasi Rishus HaYachid where the Nezek took place. Your home is not a quasi. What about the fact that it's my home? That's already been lost. Because this unique chiyuv that you can get for people walking into your home doesn't exist when you invited them in. So very, very deep ideas. You have to get past Tosfos and Rashi. You have to get past what they're saying. Why do they say what they're saying? You have to ask meta questions in Rashi and Tosfos to get down to the Shein. Yes, Avi, yes, let's talk about this. Avi, yes.
Why do you compare this to a case of
Nishor Rova Hatabar Balabai Freshas? We'll talk about that on Daf Yud Gimel. Okay? Who has a to bring animals in? This is the first time we've seen how invitation to use your house affects Shein Veregel. We're going to talk about that a lot. When we finish all the Gemaras in Chav Chav Aleph, we'll go back to Yudalad. And we'll see Chaz HaShutvim. Okay? Yes, yes.
How's the point about invasion different from the accessibility point of
Tosas? Okay, so start again. Tosas is saying that though both, use the word recess means inaccessible, though both Tzidei Rechava and this scenario are recessed, Tzidei Rechava is not just recessed, but it's on a higher plane. So I can call that Rosh HaSayachid. Here it's recessed, but an even plane, it's not Rosh HaSayachid. That's what Tosas says. You and me are saying, Tosas, it's my house. Haven't been mafkirit. Why do you have to struggle to make it into Rosh HaSayachid and say, well, Tzidei Rechava has two parameters to make it into Rosh HaSayachid, this only has one, therefore it can't be. It's my house. When it comes to Tzidei Rechava, I can understand. If you have an even sidewalk, you can't call it separate, even though it's recessed. If you have a pitched sidewalk, since it's pitched and it's recessed, horizontal and vertical, offsets, I can call it Rishus Yachid. But why do I have to struggle to call this Rishus Yachid? It's my house. So evidently, it's not a classic Rishus Yachid because I've invited people into the house. Don't say the word invasion. Just get the structure, not necessarily the alumnus. So evidently, now we have two tracks operating. Had I not invited people in, I'd be chayev even if it weren't an even plane, not recess, because it's my house. Once I invite people in, the only time it could be chayev. Or, if let's say I invited people in, but my house weren't on the same plane according to Tosfos, then you'd also be chayev, because Rav requires even plane. So I've got two tracks working here. If it were my house, discussion ends, right? If I'm ripping, discussion ends. You're chayev. If it's a house that I invited you in, now we start talking. See the Rechava language. Those are two tracks. Yehuda's calling the two tracks, track one, invasion, track two, Nezik and Rishus Yachid. You want to call the two tracks yin and yang? Call them yin and yang. You want to come up with 500 other svaras? Go ahead, Yossi. But that's where the structure comes in. You hear Tosfos? Had I not invited people, had I not been Makatsa Makom, this conversation won't be taking place. It could be an even keel. No recessed, you're chayif now. The whole question where recessed and pitch is Tzidei Rechava or my house that invited people in. This is real lumdus, guys. It's easy to read Tosfos and interpret. Just, okay, put it into context. See three sugyas at a time. Ask questions. This is real learning. This is learning systems, not learning a line in Tosfos. Yes, Gavi. Noam was first. Noam?
I was going to say another alternative start to the
meeting. Go ahead.
Once you invite people in, the Shias and Nizrak is now higher than the Shias.
Okay. We haven't talked about Shias. Not by inviting people in, then I change the calibration machine. I'm more of a Peshev to be more sensitive because I'm inviting you to my house. Could be. Okay? Gabi, let's wait to see Shias. We have to see how that operates. Yes, Gabi.
You're saying that you need both of these things.
Tosfos says that. I'm not saying anything. That's what Tosfos says. For Tzidei Rechava to be chayev, you need two things. Mechazeres, that's Rav, plus a higher pitch. That's Tosfos's addition. Here you have the Mechazeres, but you know the higher pitch. And I'm saying, who cares, Tosfos? It's your house.
So what force does this
get into that order? Ask Gary Spivak. He likes those questions. What force does it? He didn't like Rashi, and he had no way to explain the Gemara, so that's what he thought. It's a deep, deep, deep Rishonim, guys. Yes, here it is. Yeah, two tracks of shame. We're going to have to see, is the pasuk flexible enough to create two tracks? Okay, we're building ideas as you go through each sukkah. This sukkah is like a video game. The level of difficulty is rising in each sukkah because there are more factors to deal with. Yesterday, you were innocent. Oh, the mechazeres, I'll use a ruler. That's not so simple because the mechazeres ruler doesn't work on an even plane. So they have to be, because there's more sukkahs. More information means more subtle distinctions. Right, that's always true in Shas. We're just collecting all the information into one big board. We're trying to make sense of it. Okay? This is real, guys. This is Gevaldik learning. If you follow it, this is how you learn Shas. In theory, you can learn all of Shas at once, have all the details on the big board, and have to make everything make sense. Then you know Shas in one statement. Okay? Now, what's the problem with Tosfos? I always be like, what's wrong with Tosfos? Come on. What's missing from Tosfos? This is a great svara. Two tracks, invasion, privacy, rishus. Why does Bar teach us any of this? Like, what's Bar to do with anything? What's going on here? Now, to defend Tosfos, listen carefully, and to solve the next problem, there's one word in Tosfos that I skipped when I read it. What word did I skip? Maskina. It sounds like Tosfos may be explaining the maskana when we liberated from Bor, disengaged from Bor, not the Havamina, which means that Tosfos is only a fragment. The Havamina of the Gemara was, Oren, maybe like Rashi. I don't know. A lot of the Balei Tosfos quote Rashi, so maybe they like Rashi and Havamina. And Tosfos is Adam just filling in what Rashi didn't fill in. When the Gemara said, oh, you got to be crazy. You got to be kidding me. You really think it's Bor? This has nothing to do with Bor. Rav makes you pater because you invited people in, and it's on an even plane, even though it's offset a few inches. Shmuel says, stop bothering me with your whole fancy schmancy svaras. It's Rishus HaYachid, you're chayiv. Don't give me fancy schmancy svaras. It's Rishus HaYachid, you're chayiv. Now, how that fits into the Gemara, that's a bigger problem. How does that fit into the words of the Gemara, where the Gemara says, no. You know why Rav says, Potter, you shouldn't move your pair of Sokla. Where did that come in? Rav should say Potter, because you allow people to walk in, and because it's not even plain. Basically, all the big lumbas and Tulsos, it's hard to fit it into the language of the Gemara. That's the real problem in Tulsos. You saw Dove, not the Bor problem. It sounds like Tulsos is giving us the Maskana. It's not the Bor that's the problem. It's the, if that's the Maskana, where did that fit into the Gemara? Okay. I've seen worse. This is Tulsos Svara. Okay? So let's review before we get to the biggie. Let's review. We saw Rashi, who explained the Hava Amina in a way that didn't really teach us much about Shein, because the entire conversation was pivoted around Bor, both Rav and Shmuel. But the common assumption was that even though you are Mafki, you are Rishus Ari, in Rashi, it's not enough. For Rashi, Rishus HaRabim does not dictate Chiyuv HaPtor. You are Mafki, you are Rishus, but it's not enough to make you putter in the Hava Amina. Rav still has to search for some reason to make you putter. Why? So we speculated, we can't do more than that, that even though it's Rishus HaRabim, after you've been mafkir it, it's not a thoroughfare. And even though it's legally Rishus HaRabim, it's not Orche. So the Hava Amina of the Gemara, at least, is pitched on a riff version of Shein Varagel. That would be a super way to prove you're a Lamdan. Okay? Someone asks you, can you find the riff Svara of Orche? In Rishonim, you say, yeah, I can. First of all, the Rush, that, well, everyone knows that Rush. But can you find it hiding in Rishonim? You say, wait a second, the Ramban's definition of Ilfa and Rav, that Agav Chavrata and Mechazeres is Pater because it's not hyper Orcha, even though it's a Shusa Rabin. And B, the conversation of Rav Vishmuel, according to Rashi, in the Havamina. Why are Rav Vishmuel fetching around? Why is Rav looking for a Ptur if you're Mafki Rishus? That could be because Rashi is operating along the rift's frequency. You're mafki rishus, but it's still not orche for animals to walk through. You're mafki rishus, but it's not a thoroughfare, it's not hyper orche. Therefore, you can't be pater because rishus sarabim. Rav has to concoct some ptor that streams through bor. What happens to the maskana according to Rashi is anyone's guess. Does the Gemara maintain that logic, but break apart bor and peros? Okay, even though you may be pater and bor, and you won't apply kol hakodim zacha in that scenario, because Rav will hold the Rebbe Yishmael, but by Paris, everyone's going to slip on. Paris is super bor, heinous bor, terrible bor, uber bor, and therefore it's bor. So don't think that what you say about Paris, you'll say about bor. But the reason you're putting on the Paris is still the Kol HaKodim Zacha business. And Shmuel reverses it. Pits are worse than Paris. Or the Gemara is saying, no. Rav and Shmuel are not putter, but listen to my sentence now. They're not putter because of the bor Kol HaKodim Zacha issue. And they're also not putter because it's a Shusarapim. It maintains itself in the Maskana. I'll give you another ringer. You know what the ringer is? Not Bor, but Pshiasa Nisik. Pshiasa Masik. Pshiasa Nisik. It's your fault for making the paracircles. Even in the Maskana, no one says in this sugya, according to Rashi, you're Pater because of Rishus HaRabim. Even in the Maskana, whatever your Maskana is, Rav never says you're Pater because of Rishus HaRabim. So somehow, Rashi's version of the sugya smells like the Rif. Because at no point did the Gemara just say, hey, it's Rishus HaRabim, you're Potter. End the conversation. Why is the Gemara hunting for Ptor for Rav? Well, it's based on Bor. Or let's say the Gemara rejects it and says, it's Pshiasa. Who cares? It's Rishus HaNizik, HaRabim. That should be enough for you. That has the riff all over it. The fingerprints of the riff all over it. Tosfos ran away from that. You want to ask who asked the question? If I got, why did Tosfos say that? Tosfos had to change the Metzias. Because if you say Rishus HaRabim, then it's a, what's the word for it? It's a slam dunk. You're Pater. And then there's no sugya to talk about. So Tosfos had to build a sugya. Because Tosfos is not a riff person, as we know. Right? Tosfos is a Rishus HaYachid person. And that's why he starts rolling up the sleeves and say, okay, let's see how we're going to define this house. It's still your house that people walk through. People are walking through, so, okay, that means something. And it's inaccessible, so that makes it Rishus HaYachid like, but it's not this. It's not. It's the same grade, so it's different. It's clear that the axis of Thosos is Rishuyos. And the axis of the Sugya going to Rashi is clearly not Rishuyos. Now, what happens in the Havamina going to Thosos? I don't really know, but we know what happens in Maskana, even though it's hard to read it in the words. It's hard to read it in the words. Which Rishon reverse engineered the Havamina based on the Dichoy? Who am I talking about? And this is the third Shita. We'll deal with it very quickly, and then we'll just maybe summarize a little tomorrow. The Rishita is that not only, okay, here's our Chiddush for the day, not only was the Gemara's conclusion based on should you have been careful or not have been careful, Mazik, and if you couldn't have been careful, maybe I should have been more careful, Mr. Nizik, and therefore I make you putter because it's my fault. But even, this is the most holistic shot. Rashi's Havamina doesn't sound like it survives the Maskana. Tosfos' Maskana doesn't explain the Havamina. The most holistic shot is the Ri. It's the least Lamdaship shot, and that's the pressure in the Sugya. It's hard to fit Lamdas into both the Havamina and the Maskana. So the Ri says, look, okay guys, here's the Chiddush for today. Let's work backwards. Okay? In the end, why are you Patur going to Rav? Okay, this is a big Chiddush today, so if you're not following parts of the share, now's the time to get back in. Why are you Patur according to Rav? Okay, according to the ring, let's first start from the beginning. Okay? What is this area? Is it Mafkir or not? Are you Mafkir? What does the Ri say? What's Makatza Makom? Like Rashi, like tells us, were you Mafkir or not? Like Rashi. So right off the bat, here we have to ask the same question. Why do you have to explain Rav if you're Mafki Rishus? Same conclusion, I don't hold it's Rishus based. Now what is it? Maybe something Orche, maybe something else, which we'll see in a moment. The second you read Mekatze Makom as Mafki Rishus, you are walking away from Rishus HaRav and Beis Pitur. You're walking into a new territory, Rif or otherwise. Which is fine, because that's the new territory we're encountering today. So the Omer Ri, Nira Luri Lefarish, the Rav Savar Bar Bishus El Chayiv. Tikshehivkir Rishuso, Velohivkir Baro, Vinafaloshar. Your Mafki Rishus. I'm sorry. It's not absolutely clear. He doesn't need to say it, but it sounds like he's saying it. Let's hold that for the end. According to Rav, here's the Chiddush. Why are you Pater in the end? Let's read the Gemara. Shani Hacha, unlike Bor. The animal says, the animal's owner, the Amar, Mr. Mazik, tells Mr. Nizik, Lav kol kiminach, the mekavsa the paris sechel ishus harab, the mekavsa le thirai. It's your fault for bringing the paris. We now know what this is. We've been circling the waters like sharks for 3 days. Pshiasa Nizik. The p'tur ishus harabim, listen to my 3 senses, just in case you haven't connected the dots. The p'tur ishus harabim is not based on legal definitions. It's not based on Orche. It's based on the Nisik being the most poshea by leaving his fruits on Fifth Avenue. And once we say that the Petur Rishus HaRabim is based on Pshias HaNisik, we can extend that to peripheral areas of Rishus HaYachitz. Just like if you leave your pears on Fifth Avenue, it's your fault because my animal is going to walk there. Similarly, if you leave your pears on the boundary of Rishus HaYachid, that you are Mekatza Makom, either Mafkir or invite people in. Right now, let's not distinguish between the two, then you're Mafkir. If you put your fruits in your Rishus and no one can come in, you're not a Pashah. If you put your fruits in Rishus HaRabim, or in Rishus HaYachid, that you invited people in, you are the Pashah, and the Mazik can say, Lav kol kiminech demekaravtele leperasecha. You shouldn't have brought your peros close. Rav adopts that tour. Shmuel says, that's ridiculous. And he goes to some other p'tur of Shein in Rishus HaRabim, which you can't extend to this area of Mekatze Makom. That's the Maskana. The Havamina is, I'm working backwards, and we'll read it later, is whatever Rav would say by Peros, he would say by Bor. And it would not only affect Shein, but it would affect Bor in an inverse way. We'll see in a moment. And whatever Shmuel says by Peros, he would say by Bor, and would affect it inversely. Maskana was, I'm breaking apart Bor and Shem. We'll see in a moment different ways to say that. The Hav Amina is that according to Rav, you can't expect walkers-by to be careful. If you can't expect walkers-by to be careful, so Bor would be, if I can't expect walkers-by to walk carefully, to look where they're walking, when I dig a bor in my rishus and a mafkir, be chayiv or pater. But if I can't expect walkers by to be careful, I'm chayiv. And by shein, if I can't expect walkers why to be pater, would the animal be chayiv or pater? I'll be pater. It's my fault because I can't expect the animal to look where he's going and not eat. So if when I put things in accessible areas, I can't expect walkers by to be careful, that would yield a chayiv when I put a bor. But it would make the eaters of my peros pater, because I can't expect the animal to be careful. What do we expect? What do we call in Tosfos? I can't expect people to be careful. What's the language? Who's the language? I can't expect walkers by or animals walkers by to be careful. E.F. Sherlet Thompson. It's not fair for me to expect people to walk like this. People walk, animals walk. So I put a bor. People are going to fall in. You're chayef. And put peros, animals are going to eat. You're the poshea, Mr. Animal's father. The Gemara thought that what I would say by bor, I would say by shein. And Rav would say, you can't expect people to be careful. Shmuel would say, you can expect people to be careful. You expect people to walk like this, and to, you know, walk, I don't know, say through a minefield, whatever, it's a bad word to use in today's word. Walk through, like you're walking through a minefield. Oh, according to Shmuel, I can expect people to be careful. So I put a bor, would I be chayiv or pater? If I can't expect walkers by to be careful, I put a bor, would I be chayiv or pater, marjus? Pater. But if I put my peros there, the animal that ate the peros would be chayiv, because I want to suppose it, because I can expect people not to eat the peros. So the Gemara thought that expecting people to be careful, or not expecting people to be careful, would dually impact bor and shein, inversely. Rav says, you can't expect people to like walk carefully. So you put a bor, you're chayiv. You put peros, the animal's pater, because it's your fault. You should have realized that animals aren't going to walk by carefully and going to eat your peros. So you're putting the peros where animals aren't going to walk by carefully, you're the poshea. Since you're the poshea, animal's pater. Namely, we can take the p'tor of peros in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and apply it to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. According to Rav, there are two assumptions. A, there is a p'tor in Rosh Hashanah. I'm saying a lot here. I'll repeat it tomorrow. In, according to Rav, there is a p'tor called p'shias anizik in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And not only that, but I can extend it to marginal areas in Rosh Hashanah Yachids, where I can say, you know what, I should have realized that people are going to walk all over the place and not be careful. Even though legally it's my Rishos, I invited people in. We don't really know what Rav says. We'll see in a moment. Since I know people are going to walk in, and animals are going to walk in, and animals can't be careful where they walk, they're going to eat my peros, I shouldn't have put the peros there. I'm the p'shia, and my p'shia exonerates the mazik. Whereas Shmuel held in the Hav Amina, you can expect walkers by to be careful. Oh, you can expect walkers by to be careful? Build a bor and trust them not to fall into the bor. Ah, you can expect walkers by to be careful? Put your peros in the Shus Rabbim and trust the animal shouldn't eat it. You're not a pasheh by putting your fruits there. If you're not a pasheh, when your animal eats, you'd be chayef. That's the Hav Amina. Whereas it says, no. You got it wrong. Now I'll give two ways to say you got it wrong, but let's just breathe in what we've seen until now. Namely, I'm going to say a word I haven't said before. At least according to Tosfos. I don't know if Rashi says this also, because we don't know what Rashi says in the Maskana. At least according to Tosfos, we have our fourth paradigm for the offset between Rosh Hashanah Yachid and Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. Paradigm one is, what's Rosh Hashanah? Paradigm two is, Orche or non-Orche. Paradigm three is invasion or not, which we haven't really riveted down, but we've been seeing a lot of it. Paradigm four is, it has nothing to do with Rishus, it has nothing to do with Orche, it has nothing to do with invasion. You know, the real difference between Rishus and Rabbim and Rishus Yachid? In Rishus Rabbim, the Nizik was Poshia. In Rishus Yachid, the Nizik was not a Poshia. And to prove to you, it has nothing to do with the Shus Aram Shus Ayachid. I'll show you a case of the Shus Ayachid, which you're pater. That's Rav's case. The Shus Ayachid, but you're pater, because the Nizik invited people in, at the very least, maybe even Malchus Rishus, we don't know. He invited people in. Rav says, I can't expect people to be careful about peros. Therefore, it's a posher for leaving my peros in this area of Rishus Yechad and invited people in. The Gemara thought that what Rav would say by peros, he would say by bor. Whereas says, no, breakaway bor from peros. And Shmuel would be the... Let's see if we can ask them just to lift the chairs. Shmuel says, we thought that expecting people to be careful would be consistent by bar and peros, and the Gemara splits that apart. Now we have our fourth paradigm. If someone stops and asks you, where does Pshias and Nizek come from? This second. We raised this before. I showed you the Nachlas David. We said it to explain why Kishkis, the Chiyah Chazenev, is Nava, would be Pater, the Kishkis be Amsa, but I told you that it doesn't sound that way from the Sugya. The Chiyah Chazenev doesn't sound like you're blaming the Nizek, it sounds like you're just having Rechmanis on the Mazik. Four people, it's Orche, it's a Nesivot, it's too much, it's crazy. But this is real. Rav says that, according to this day, Mekatzah Makom, Perus and Rishas Arachet is Pater, because the Mazik says, listen to the Mazik talking, the Amar Lav Kol Keminach, the Mekarf says, like the Perusacha, the Rishas Arabim, Umechayevis Lehu Literai. We thought that would also be Mechayev by Bor and Pater by Shein. Where it says, no. You could be Pater and Bor and Pater and Shein, because we can break Bor and Shein away. As much as I have a taiva to take you into that lum, there's two different ways to break Bor from Shein. I'll leave that to your own imagination. Do we break Bor away from Shein because we distinguish between a pit and fruit? Or in the end, we break Bor away from Shein because, I'll just say it once, Pshias and Nizek exonerate Shein, but Pshias and Nizek we cannot exonerate Bor. There's equal Pshia, but it's just less effective in undoing Bor than it is in undoing Shein. If you got it, you got it. If not, don't worry about it. And vice versa in Shmuel. So now we could be asking about the scope of Pshias and Nizek. So let me review. Or let me first answer your question, then we'll review. What's your question, Yisrael David? Okay. Yes, Yishai.
So you mentioned yesterday that you wanted to say something
like that. Okay, after Shiel, say anyone. Okay? Okay. Let us review. Okay, this is an amazing sugya because it raises the level of difficulty. There are many, many creeks and crevices to the sugya. You just have to follow and be intellectually assertive. Ask why Rashi's, not why Rashi said what he said, but why didn't he say what he should have said? Why didn't Rav say what he should have said according to Rashi? Why didn't Rav say what he should have said according to Tosfos? Okay? What the maskan is, we don't really know in Rashi. What's the hava mean in Tosfos? We don't really know. It's less important because it's the hava mean. But let's start from Rashi. According to Rashi, you're a mafki Yerushas. And somehow, that's not enough. Okay? Now we're talking, for Rashi, it has nothing to do with the Shusha Rav and Shusha Yachid. The Gemara thought it had to do with some Kalakotim Zacha business, which is not really Shein-oriented. Is the Maskana maintaining that, which means that according to Rashi, this is not a Shein Sugya? Or the Maskana, according to Rashi, is like the Ri, for our purposes now. And in the end, the Gemara switches from the Ptur being based on the Kalakotim Zacha to the Ptur being based on Shia Sanisik. That could be the way to read Rashi. Hard to know. Tosfos, Dibur HaMaschil, Ki. Tosfos told us the Maskana. It didn't fit the language, but he told us the Maskana. His Metzias was, it's your house. Yet, even though it's your house, you can be Pater, because we can't really zone this as an autonomous Shusayachit. Because even though there's an offset, there isn't an elevation, as Avod Sidi Rechava. The answer is, who cares? It's my house. Evidently, once you've invited people to walk in, which is Mekatzah Makom, you haven't been mafkid, but you invite people to walk in, I've given up the shein of my house. There's a shein of my house in which elevation doesn't make a difference. There's a shein of my house that I've invited people in which I have to start thinking and comparing it to Tzidur Rechava. That's the core of Tosfos. The Re has the least lamdasher machlokas. What's the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel? What's the bone of contention? Can I expect walkers by to be careful? What do we call that machlokas? Sias machlokas. We don't like that. It's read Tosfos. We just didn't read Tosfos. Tosfos, v'nir l'ri l'faresh, bar. Let me see if I can just find the line. De'ein Adam, line number 4 after the Re'in Tosos, De'ein Adam Yechol Letzatzim Kolkach. We can't expect people to be careful according to Rav. Therefore, by Bor Yechayiv and by Shein, you'd be Pater because it's not fair to the animal. Thikach lo hayel lo karev. Hayel lo karev mam shuzim. Shuzim lo chamizatzim. Vishmoa mechayiv. She mishum she lo hayel lo karev peros esof shizirabim. Ein liftar. She yachol bal haperos lismach v'gam bal habor yismach that they can be careful. This is the flaw in the Re. Machlokes Rav and Shmuel is should people be careful. Can I, as a boar digger and a peros depositor, trust people to walk carefully? If I can't trust them to walk carefully, then I'm chayav b'boar, and if you eat my peros and pater, this is my fault. If I can trust people to walk carefully, I'm pater b'boar, but you'd be chayav in the peros because I'm not at fault. That's the machlokes. How people walk. I would love to say, but Tosfos won't let me, that the real machlokes is, do you even think about pshias and nizik? Rav says two statements. A, you can't trust people to walk carefully. B, therefore, pshias and nizik, by putting your parents there and not trusting animals, exonerates the mazik. And Shmuel says, no. I agree you can't trust people to walk, but pshias and nizik isn't a factor. That's not in Tosfos. Tosfos says that Shmuel's retort to Rav is, no, you can't trust people to walk. Really? That's the machlokes? Can you trust people to walk or not? That's the flaw in Tosfos. Machlokas becomes a machlokas, how people walk. Okay? I mean, every machlokas didn't have to be based on some preliminary logic of how people operate. But you'd think that the Amoraim wouldn't argue about something which is A, factual, B, constantly changing. Depends where you walk and how you walk. And are you tall or short? And do you have good posture or not good posture? And do you walk in a place where they look down or walk in a place where they look up? You're walking in Chevron with rocks, you're walking in New Rochelle or Scarsdale, where it's all flat. I mean, that's what we don't like about Machlokas and Metzias, because why do they spend the time arguing something factual, and why do they spend the time? That's what, there's a flaw and an advantage to each shot here in the Sugya. This is what bothers me and tells us. And I'd like to say maybe only the Havamina thought that, and the Maskan of the Gemara breaks away, but this is already developmental on this, to see how you can solve the problem in the Maskan. Okay, really, really beautiful sugya. We didn't talk about some of the more nuanced shittas in the sugya, the Rav and the Tamid HaRashba, but these are the three primary shittas in the sugya. Okay, as we say in Yiddish, weiter. Next stage is, okay, we talked about Rosh Hashanah Rabbins or Yechayev, remember the coordinates? We talked about Rosh Hashanah Yachas with your pater. Now we'll talk about something which is half in, half out. We call that Niskalka. Okay, getting back to Tzoros, rolling food, rolling stones, half in, half out, that's our next prism through which we're going to bend the light of Rosh Hashanah and Shasei Yachid. How does that prism bend the light and help us see what the nature of Tzoros is? Each sugya is a prism, and you're looking at a different color of the spectrum. Okay, so far we've seen three. We'll see probably five or six, maybe seven different prisms to help us better understand Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. Okay? Now, thank you for reminding me, Shai. I wanted to mention something, but again,